because of the absence of a few presenters. We will begin with session number 10 with Dr. Al-Sadiq Musa Ahmed from Multimedia University of Malaysia, and his topic is foreign direct investment effect on East Asian productivity. Dr. Ahmed. Okay. Yes, I will. But we'll begin. Can we run short on time?
Yeah, yes, you inform them when you start. Okay. Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is my great pleasure to share with you some of my ideas. And I wish to get comments that can help me to do more research and see you here or at any place. So the purpose of the presentation is to share the idea. I have a little knowledge, so I want to improve my knowledge through your comments and your observation. So my title is Foreign Direct Investment Effect on East Asian Productivity. So I have a combination of productivity and foreign direct investment, and the case study is East Asian. And East Asian is consists about 15 countries. We have something called ASEAN, Association of East Asian Nations, consists of 10 countries. But here I'm taking 5 countries only because I'm taking Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Thailand, and Indonesia. These are the founding members in 1967. Later on, like a country like Brunei, is just only started in 1983. They have Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, and Laos. Plus three is China, Japan, and South Korea. These are the East Asian countries beside Mongolia and East Timor. So 17 countries altogether, 15 countries altogether. So following the free trade agreement, most of the countries through this free trade agreement, they get the advantage, especially when Japan is fully industrialized in 1970s. The foreign direct investment has only chance to go to East Asian countries. And if we want to see the behavior of these countries to foreign direct investment, countries like South Korea reserve FDI out unless necessary for technology access or export, joint venture and licensing encourage, sustained drive to create joint profit, private companies. So South Korea is welcoming only the foreign direct investment for technology transfer or technology development. The rest of East Asian countries, foreign direct investment for everything, from the manufacturing even to the supermarket. If you go to Malaysia or go to these countries, you find Jusco from Japan as a supermarket or hypermarket. You can find Tesco from UK, Giant from US, Carrefour from France. And so they only find employment chances for them. So the foreign direct investment is involving in everything in these countries. You can see the impact of transnational corporations are investing in these countries from the import-export. They imported all the inputs, factors, they produce the output, they export it. These governments of ASEAN countries, they are only collecting the tax from both the companies and from the individual who are employed. So they find chances for employment, chances for the people. Okay? So you know about the productivity issue. We have a productivity driven and we have input driven. Productivity driven through the quality of inputs, we create value. We call it technological progress. In East Asian countries, we have only Japan, who is a country has a productivity driven, and somehow South Korea. Other ASEAN countries, they use input to produce output only with no clear technological progress. So we call it input driven. This is a concept here. And how we know is that is a productivity driven or input driven, we look to something called total factor productivity, which is based on the quality of inputs, not the quantity. For example, what is the contribution of the quality of the physical technology use? What is the quality of employment? We call it human capital. Skilled people, they are contributing more than unskilled people. So we call it total factor productivity. From the contribution of total factor productivity, which is called solo residual or technological progress, we will know the country is productivity driven or input driven. So the objective of this paper is to study the impact of foreign direct investment on productivity of ASEAN plus three. And this paper gives details of the first section was introduction, and the second one is estimation methods. Section 3 demonstrates details of the data. Result analysis are explained in section 4, and finally, section 5 presents the conclusion. So this is the methodology. I have to explain. I don't know if you have pointer or not. Is there any pointer to? Okay. They don't have. Okay. So this is the original model. Delta here, they call it phase difference. And this LN is the logarithm. And this output, GDP, I, and T. T is the time period, and I is the number of countries. As a function, as you know, this is, we call it intersat or coniston. And this is a parameter of capital, labor, and foreign direct investment, and this is, they call it error term or residual term. And this is most important term because this is, in the end, we have to prove is the technological progress or total factor productivity. So people who are using these models, they're only getting the parameters, which is beta, lambda, and alpha. The base we found, that is a gap, because this is showing homogeneous measure. What does mean? We have the employment in number of person, and we have the physical capital money, and this is money, and this is money. So when we take only the estimation of the parameters, we are measuring, we are showing the homogeneous measure. So there is a gap in the econometric estimation because they only base on the parameters. So we take the first step to get the statistical analysis. We go to the second step. We want to close that these gaps of the gross accounting. Also here, they have these residual term, total factor productivity, equal to output minus all the inputs. So this total factor productivity is that they call it the measure of our ignorance. We don't know why this country is developing or why this country is not developing, because through the quality, is a combination of the quality of inputs. So this model has a gap also. There is no statistical analysis. They call it gross accounting. In this study, we close both gaps. We go for estimation, we get the parameters, then we go for calculation to calculate the productivity indicators, which are total factor productivity, output, contribution of capital, labor, and foreign direct investment. Simply, these are simple equations, but there are more details in the paper how we proceed to calculate this. So this is the result here. You have the GDP, capital, labor, FDI, and TAP. These are the inputs. We use capital, labor, and foreign direct investment to get output. And this is the difference here. This is the residual term. This is the solo residual. This is the measure of our ignorance. why Japan is productivity driven. Why not Malaysia? Because of quality of input, quality of capital, different in technology. Toyota is able to produce 1 million cars in a year. Toyota has high skilled labor. Okay? So you can see here, if you look, the contribution of inputs, all are okay. These you call it input driven. But when you come to TAP, there is a little contribution. Little contribution of most of the country, except Japan and South Korea. From here, we can conclude that ASEAN countries use input to produce output, which is productivity driven. And Japan proof they have technological progress, and somehow South Korea, because they have their own companies, are competing in electronics and automobile industry everywhere. So these countries, the only countries in Asia can be a productivity driven through the result of total factor productivity. Now I want to compare FDI with TAP. You see the contribution of FDI is very high because the company investing, and the contribution of TAP is very low. We can conclude the technology transfer from this foreign direct investment is not so high because they use input to produce output with no real technological progress as in Japan and South Korea. Okay, we come to the conclusion. Now we talk about sustainability, the sustainability of East Asian countries. It should be based on total factor productivity, based on productivity driven. Otherwise, input driven is not going to sustain. So what is the total factor productivity? Development strategies emphasis on the quality, is a qualitative. Quality of workforce, we call it human capital, skilled labor. Capital structure, which technology we are using, digital technology or physical technology, and technological progress is a combination of them. This study argues to fill two gaps, as I tell you. In econometric estimations, we have the parameters, we have the statistical analysis, but we don't calculate the productivity indicators. In growth accounting theory, we are calculating the productivity indicators, but there is no reliability of a statistical analysis to show the result is correct or wrong. So this study closed both gaps. First, we estimate, we get the homogeneous measures, the parameters used by econometric analysis. And the second step, we calculate the productivity indicators. By this, we close two gaps of two techniques. The result shows that the productivity growth of ASEAN 5 plus China is input driven. Means that they are using much input to produce output. And the logic behind this, they want to improve the standard of living of the people. They want to find employment chances. They don't care so much about technology development. On the other hand, South Korea is moving. Japan is productivity driven, but South Korea is moving toward productivity driven. This is supported by the ability of its companies to compete in international market of product and investment. The study also finds that the impact of foreign direct investment is positive, with little contribution to total factor productivity. Also, it's positive, huge company investing, but there is no technological transfer. This finding, if you look to the literature, are in line with the finding of the studies undertaken by these people. All of them, they say that newly industrialized Asian countries, productivity was input driven. And Seller also expressed concern that some East Asian countries may face the same fate of the Soviet Union. You know, in 1990s, Soviet Union was collapsed because it's highly making, join many countries together, they use more resources. So they fell down because there is no technological progress. So this is concern that East Asia might be they face the same fate. This result also confirms that FDI had a very significant role in achieving higher output growth, not productivity growth. It's only output growth produced by these countries. If you look to the whole picture, why East Asian countries are enjoying high standard of living, they have all their needs. If you want house, if you want to go for education, if you want a car, so you can live in your country very easy by just getting money through the loans. Thanks to the FDI in this regard, that helps the manufacturing sector to become the engine of economic growth instead of agricultural sector when economic structure transformation took place at these economies in the 1980s. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Ahmed. Anybody have any questions for
Dr. Ahmed?
Okay. Actually, if you look to the history, they call it personal, then they call it human resource. Then later, now they have a concept of human capital. The quality here is a combination of education and skill. They call it know-how, how you do things. After you get the education, then you have a training and you go for training and retraining. So how much skill you have, why Japan is different? Why Japan has no resources at all? Why is developing very fast? Why Singapore has no resources? Indonesia has a lot of resources. The difference is different in human mentality. The difference is different in human skills. Toyota is producing million a car a year with less inputs and with high technology. In 70 years, there is no defect in Toyota. Only last year, they have a defect in steering in Europe and US, and these countries, these cars are produced in US and in UK. So here I'm referring to the human capital. I'm referring to human skills. I'm referring to know-how.
Any other questions for Dr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, what is the last part, is it? Yes. Yes.
Yes, somehow they are moving, but you want to know productivity driven or input driven. Which brand is worldwide accepted? If you take electronics, you want to buy, you will buy Japanese or somehow Korean. And if you want to buy Chinese, maybe in doubt. Maybe it's original or fake. So what is the difference? The difference is different in human mentality and different in technological progress. So what that I mean, although China is developing very fast, but it's still input driven. And if you want to know the truth, Chinese GDP growth is 10%. None of developed countries has 10%. So it means that they are using huge input to produce output with no technological progress. They have cheap labor, they have a huge population, but if you look to the quality of the Singaporean, they are only just 5 million, they have million. What is the difference? The difference in skills and the mentality of the Japanese and the mentality of Singaporean. This is the difference between Caribbean and Singapore. If you want to be like Singapore, you have to develop business mentality as the Chinese doing there. That we in the keynote paper there. The difference between you and Singapore, people, they have Chinese mentality of doing business. You don't have this mentality. So you have to look how you develop this mentality to do business. So you will be like Singapore.
I think we want to be a more advanced Caribbean, not like anybody else. But thank you anyway for the advice. Any other questions though for Dr. Ahmed? Well, we'd like to thank you, Dr. Ahmed, for your presentation and your insightful mathematical view of things.